And as others are gathering in, perhaps we'll have some community singing. We'll start with number 304, please. You'll see it on the screens in front of you, or if you're using your hymn book, it is found on page 299. Sing out as unto the Lord at the top of your voices as others gather in. We are never, never weary of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. Keep your seats as we sing. Good singing voice. Turn over, if you're in your hymn book, to page 392. The hymn number is 535. Rejoice in the Lord, O let his mercy cheer. He sunders the bands that enthrall, redeemed by his blood. Say amen tonight if that applies to you. Amen. We've much to sing about and to sing for this evening. Think of the words as we sing them. 535. The first and second verses only, please, at the top of our voices. Good singing, keep it up with number 465, please. 465 and page 364. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. First and last verses, that's verse 1 and 3. Remaining seated again, please. Wonderful words we have even in that lovely hymn. I wonder what you're leaning upon tonight. What are you trusting upon? Maybe you're trusting in self. Well, maybe this will be the very night whenever the Lord reveals himself to you. Number 339, one of my favorites. You'll find it on page 313. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, this lovely hymn of testimony. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. 339 will sing all of this lovely hymn, remaining seated as we do so.
My Savior, I met. Oh, what a good evening. Let me ask you to take your hymnal or not and turn to hymn number 546 for our opening hymn. We welcome you this evening. Say a little more on that in a few moments. I do have one request, though, and that is I've heard you singing so well walking in for our brother Paul. Please sing better for me than him. I'll feel good. Where'd he go? 546, and we'll stand together as we sing.
Before.
Well, thank you. I think you honored my request, so I appreciate it. I've just been asked to announce there are four vehicles that need to be moved, so I hope you have your, do you say license plates, memorized. But these four, MG28901, G4DHS, 5H25230, and J21BMD. So that was Greek to me, and Greek's been a long time, but if you could help us out with that, we'd appreciate it. Our brother Patrick Baker from Newton Ards FPC is going to come and lead us together at the throne of grace.
Let's seek the Lord together in prayer this evening, and we trust that we have his blessing upon this meeting and the word of God speaking powerfully to our hearts. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow in thy presence this evening in the Savior's most worthy and in his precious name. We thank thee for the means which is given to the church of Christ to seek the face of God. We're glad that we can sing and we can speak and we can pray and we can talk of one who is our great captain of salvation, the one who leads us by grace, the one who has saved us by his grace, the one who loves us with a love which has no limit. We're glad that we can enter into thy presence, not by any skillfulness of ourselves, not by any excellence or strength that we have, for Father, we have none, but all of our strength and all of our enablement is in our great Savior this evening. We look to him. We look to the one who loves his church and gave himself for it. We turn our hearts afresh to the Son of God, as Paul could say, who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, we pray for thee to write that truth upon our hearts this evening and so save us from spiritual deadness. And save us, O God, from a spiritual apathy. We do not want to enter into the presence of God in a mechanical and hard and cold, rigid manner. These hearts of ours, they need to be touched afresh. Our souls need to be quickened. We pray that whether young or old this evening, that we will all recognize and realize that God himself makes the feast. It is the presence of the Lord that we desire so much. And we ask from the outset of this meeting this evening that we will be mindful of this one truth, that God is in the midst of us. And when the Lord is in the midst of us and his word comes with power and unction and authority and clarity, we realize that we're in for a special time, a worthy time, a precious time. We ask, O God, that we might be soldiers of the cross and go forward by the help which is given unto us. And grant, O God, as we turn to Scripture very soon within this meeting, and as thy dear servant comes to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, that there will be a new challenge to our hearts and our souls. We pray, Lord, that what we heard yesterday evening will continue throughout this evening, that we might go forward by thy help, that we might march forward by the strength which is granted by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's our desire this evening. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us, we pray. Open up our understanding. May we all speak afterwards of that wonderful sensation and experience of our hearts being warmed and stirred within us as we sat under the sound of truth. Bless, O God, thy servant. May he have much help. May he know the liberty which only comes from thee. May you use him as a mouthpiece and a messenger in the hand of God. We're glad for these meetings. We pray as we seek, Lord, to go through this week, that we will be intensifying of thy presence, that evening after evening, that we will all recognize this one thing, that we have fellowship one with the other. What blessed unity there is in Christ. Lord, maintain that unity, we pray. May there be a growth within our ranks. May there be souls which are added to the church of Christ. We pray for any even this evening that may be far away from thee in their spiritual walk. There's a backwards nature to their walk with God there. They're not where they should be. In fact, they're far away from thee. Lord, many of us are in that place. Oh, may we hear the gentle, the inviting, and the very comforting words of Christ, that thou art married to the backslider. Oh, that we would return unto thee and bring with us words unto our God. Lord, forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all of our wickedness and our unbelief. Oh, Lord, may our Savior this evening have all the preeminence. We're glad for him this day. We pray that he will be the one that is seen before our eyes. And are we pleased to glorify the name of our great God and Savior. Hear our cry and continue with us. We pray these things in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. We have several announcements this evening, but first to just bid you all a very warm welcome. It feels strange to be the visitor from the other continent that is welcoming you, but I do that this evening. But I also want to bring greetings from our churches, or I guess more at this point. Brother Saunders may say more officially from our churches, but if I could speak on behalf of the visitors from our churches, a very warm thank you for your hospitality to us. I think we're supposed to skip eating the next 2 days because of all that you fed us for the previous 2 days. I was actually told the offering tonight is going to extended gym memberships for all the visitors from North America after we get home. But seriously, thank you very much. Your welcome to us and care for us is very, very much appreciated. As far as our meetings and announcements going forward this week, our brother Dr. Larry Saunders is preaching tonight from our congregation in Toronto in Canada. Tomorrow evening, Dr. Ian Brown from here in Northern Ireland. On Thursday evening, Reverend John Wagner, again from North America. And on Friday, Reverend Paul Foster will be bringing the Lord's Word, the Friday evening service. Other announcements I've been told to bring. There are current magazines that are available on the table at the entrance to Jubilee Hall. There are Vision magazines as well. And I was also asked to emphasize that for those from North America and the mainland UK, I think maybe some bulk bundles of those, if you can get those as well this evening. They're just behind the pulpit room here. So do remember those. And also LTBS magazines are available as well. I'm going to ask at this time, and we picked tonight to do it so that I could do it from here and not be embarrassed out there. But I want to ask the North American visitors if you would please stand at this time. I've been asked to do that so that the home folks here can kind of see who we are and maybe seek out a strange face to greet afterwards. So somebody has to be first. Everybody that's visiting from North America, if you would stand up. And also for those of you that are standing, if you can be seated now, but if I can get the same group to meet here immediately following this service, we want to get a group picture of everybody from North America. So if you can just come down front immediately after the service this evening, we would appreciate that. I've been asked to give a brief report with regard to Geneva Reformed Seminary, which I guess would just be the North American version of your theological hall. And as I was asked to do that this evening, in trying just to collect a brief thought, the first thing I wanted to share was a word of thanks, and that's with regard to our seminary training in North America in bygone days. I was able to study under three men from here, primarily Dr. Alan Cairns, who was ministering in Greenville, and was very much our full-time teacher. There were long days, but good days. But also Dr. John Douglas and Dr. S.B. Cook came to the States to lecture to us. So the early days of our seminary training were provided by your presbytery here, and I, for one, will be really eternally thankful for the gift of the instruction from these dear brethren. We had a season following that, several years into our existence, where we had several full-time faculty, some in residence in Greenville, and we had students that actually were in Well, I don't know if frequently is the correct word, but several times from outside of our denomination that studied with us and went out to other works. And we were very grateful for the privilege of doing that. Some of the conservative stands and lifestyle issues and so forth are a little bit rare in American Reformed circles, and so we were happy for those from outside our own little group to study with us there. We have in more recent years, and particularly with the homegoing of Dr. Mark Allison, lost the, I guess, benefit of resident faculty in Greenville, and pretty much operate like your theological hall here. We have various ministers that have been assigned different courses, travel to Greenville often, although in these post-COVID days, as we learned how to use Zoom, we have the privilege now of lecturing and also being lectured from off campus. This coming year, we have three students that are enrolled, one from our church in Toronto, one from our church in Mexico City, and one from our church in Greenville, South Carolina. The one in Greenville will be at the campus, which is our Greenville church and their facilities, and then the other two each day by Zoom. That's has its difficulties, but it has the advantage of allowing it to happen. But it also allows us to have men to teach without having to travel to Greenville, and that is a tremendous advantage to us. It allows ministers to stay at home, be in their pulpits, I guess wear two hats and work double hard those weeks, but to lecture in that way. And so it is working very well. And we just appreciate your prayers. I've heard a couple men commenting about really the ongoing need in the Lord's work to pray for men to be raised up. Pray the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers for his harvest. But we certainly have that need in North America. So pray the Lord will raise up men from our churches and from outside to come and study with us at Geneva Reformed Seminary, and we will certainly, as I said, very much appreciate your prayers. We're going to sing another hymn now for our offering, number 555, and we'll remain seated until the last stanza, 555.
Thank you.
the last. It's my privilege to welcome tonight to the pulpit Dr. Larry Saunders. He is minister in our church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and currently serving as the moderator for our churches in North America. I believe our brother's been asked to bring a report as well, so he may say a few words more officially on behalf of the Presbytery in North America, and then preach to us tonight the Lord's Word. So, brother, if you'll come.
It is a very special honor to be with you tonight, and a delight to be able to share the Word of God and to renew fellowship with many folks that we have seen and known in the past, and to see you again in the house of the Lord. It is a very, very special thing. When we think about the international congresses, and the important link that they are between our two churches, our two denominations, well, we are very thankful that they have been maintained. You know that it was supposed to be in 2022, but because of COVID, things got shut down a bit, and therefore we are meeting now. But you always wonder in your mind a little bit, will it come to an end, or is there a conclusion to it? And it takes work, it takes effort. And on our behalf, we want to sincerely thank Brother Robinson, who has been coordinating that here with the team, and appreciating so much the work that has gone into that. And already, I know Brother Kimbrough said a word of thanks to the food preparation people, the ladies, especially in Martyrs, that are really bearing the lion's share of this. But we know that other churches are contributing to lunches and helping, and it's so very much appreciated. We are very thankful for your kindness and your hospitality to us. Sometimes, you know, ministers, they want to encourage you about speaking. In a meeting like this, it's not exactly the easiest thing to do. So last evening, two ministers, they said, "Brother, we're thinking about you tomorrow night, but we won't be here." And then this afternoon at lunchtime, another brother said, "Brother, I'm praying for you tonight, but I can't be here. Sorry." And then as we were getting on the bus coming to the place here tonight, there was another dear lady, although she had a good excuse. She wasn't feeling quite well, so she's staying home tonight. But when I see the number of folks here, and I want to thank you for your commitment, for the time. We know that the first couple of weeks of July here, it's the beginning of holiday time. Folks have already made their plans. They have many things on the go. It's an extremely busy time for you. And so your commitment and your participation, your attendance is a very good thing. My dad used to tell me the story of the minister that went to speak in the church. He was invited. And at the end of his message, there weren't too many people that came out that night. So he went and spoke to the elder and he said, "What's going on? What happened? Did you not advertise this meeting?" And the elder stopped for a minute, looked at him and says, "No, we didn't advertise it, but they found out somehow." And that's sometimes when you get a bad meeting, that might be the case. I'm not just too sure, but I have personally many fond memories of this congregation and shared on the Lord's Day evening. And just the memories that we have back in 1988, as I was studying for the gospel ministry Living here in Belfast and then traveling to Banbridge, Lawrencetown area every day for the college, and the important times and the memories, the impact that time period of 2 years had on our lives, well, it cannot be properly expressed. The Lord knows the times and the blessings that we received. And Brother Kimbrough mentioned about the lecturers that he experienced that came over to assist in the college in Greenville, South Carolina. But we were right in the very depth of that, and it was so precious to me and such a great blessing. Usually students at the time when they're going through studies don't think it's quite as much of a blessing, but as you look back, you certainly have that, and so we appreciate that so very, very much. Also, I want to say a note and a word about your generosity. The generosity of the folks in the churches in Ulster toward our own missionaries and our mission stations, it has been an overwhelming thing for us. And I know that recently, Reverend Jason Boyle was doing deputation meetings here for the work in Mexico, and your kindness and your love and your generosity to him was very, very much appreciated. I have the honor of serving as the moderator of our North American churches for 2 years, and this is really into the second year now, and I've been asked to give a brief report of just some of our churches, and in doing that, I want to bring you very warm greetings from all of our congregations, but especially from Dr. McClellan. Dr. Frank McClellan, you will know him well. His name is not unfamiliar to many here, as he ministered here in the first part of his own ministerial career and challenge, and then was called to Toronto in 1976. Well, he is still doing well, he and his wife. He could not be here because of health reasons, but they are able to attend most of the services in Toronto, and so thank you for your prayers for them. I know they will greatly appreciate it. I don't need to tell you that the antagonism against the Church of Christ is worldwide, and it's increasing. No surprise to us, because the Lord tells us that before he comes back, the mystery of iniquity will be pervasive, and there will be increased attack by Satan against the cause of Christ and the true witness of the Lord. And what we desire for our churches in North America is that we will be continually conformed and conforming to the image of Christ. What we desire for our own congregations is that we will pattern what the New Testament teaches us about how the church is to look, how it's supposed to function, how it is supposed to operate. And though we fall far short of that, yet still that's our goal. And as it is your goal, we share that together. And so in our two denominations, as we are linked arm in arm and we are in unity on those important gospel truths, well, let us continue to carry that torch forward in the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our churches and our work in North America is very small compared to many other denominations. We have 12 works in the United States and 9 works in Canada at this time. There are 2 ministries going on now in Mexico City, but at this point they are in one sense under our mission board. But still, it's been a very great encouragement. And just on Mexico, I was there just in May, and we had the first ordination of any of our churches that are outside of North America, and 3 elders were ordained and installed in that constituted work in Mexico City. So that was a tremendous encouragement for us and a great blessing. And I want to thank you for your help and your prayer. Many of the churches that we have are smaller. Some of them are pioneering. others that have been established for a longer period of time, moving into the second and third generation of people who are serving the Lord there. Some men are nearing their retirement. That's not unusual for you as well. And of course, that burden is special from the standpoint of needing young men who are called of God, young men who have the hand of God upon them, men of prayer, men of conviction, men who see the vision of the purpose of Christ and desiring to go forward. Our burden is that the Lord will raise up these men. He is answering prayer for us in a smaller way. But nonetheless, we are thankful for every man who comes forward and is called of God. We need to have these pulpits filled that are empty at the moment. Phoenix, Arizona, Calgary, Alberta, Williams Lake, British Columbia, Port Hope, Ontario. Regarding Port Hope, just encourage you to remember Reverend Reggie Cranston in your prayers. He sends his greetings, would love to be here as well, but his health does not fully allow that. But do you remember him? He recently retired from serving there for 30 years. He was the pastor in Port Hope. We pray that the Lord will help us. He will send more laborers into his harvest field. Geneva Reformed Seminary is the college for training, and we pray that men will be sent out with the authority of heaven upon them and the blessing of the Lord. You know, no matter whether our churches are larger or smaller, our prayer is that there will be an impact in our communities. We pray for the fear of God to descend upon our communities and that our churches will be lighthouses to be able to show the light of the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to be conformed to this world. We don't want to be drawn into the large machinery of new evangelicalism and all of the compromise that's around us today. And so as we pray for people who are hungry for the Word of God to be drawn into our churches, we also pray that God will bring in the unsaved, that as we evangelize and as we go out to invite people to come in, that they will come and they will hear the message of the unsearchable riches of Christ, and they will come to be born again of the Spirit of God. We know that our Savior is building His church. We were just singing about that. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it because our Lord is victorious. We don't want to have churches that are entertainment centers. We don't want to have the mega church movement of the influences of the day, but we want to have the simplicity and the clarity of the gospel message to go forward. So please pray with us, as I know you're doing, but let me encourage you to keep on, that we will be found faithful until the time the Lord returns or He calls us home to be with Him, that we might continue on witnessing to small and great until that time period. Let me ask you to turn, please, to two different readings tonight. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 11. We know well the theme of these Congress meetings, taken from the book of Exodus chapter 14, and it has to do with the children of Israel being commanded to go forward when they were facing a great obstacle of the Red Sea. Well, the histories that we have in different parts of the Scripture, they give us fine details about what was transpiring during that time period. And first of all, in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read from verse 23 down to 29, and then turning back to Exodus 14. Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Exodus 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Let's pause for a moment, please, and ask for the Lord's help in our meeting. Our loving Father, we are still now, Lord, in your holy presence. And our prayer and desire is that the Spirit of God will open His Word to our hearts and reveal our Lord Jesus Christ in some greater way to our own hearts and minds. I pray, Father, that my own heart will be open tonight, and the Holy Spirit will empower me to speak as I ought to speak. And I pray also, Lord, that you would open the hearts of every person here. Pray that we will be freed from distractions, that we will be focused upon the Scripture, and that we will know, Lord, the application of the truth to our hearts by the Spirit. So be with us now. Continue with us, we pray, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. We are called to be witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea of going forward in our witnessing is an essential part of serving our Lord. We are called by God to be His witnesses. This is not something for a pastor or some evangelist that is gifted. This is a calling upon every single born-again believer. We must witness for our Lord. He has saved us for that very important reason. And what are we going to witness about? Well, we are going to witness about how we were redeemed, how the precious blood of Christ was shed for us, how we know peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first thought I want to leave with you tonight as we address the subject of going forward in our witness for God is asking the question, making the statement, how are we going to go forward? We will go forward in our witness and it must be Christ-centered. In a very real sense, the whole exodus from Egypt and the obstacle of the Red Sea that was overcome by God's power was the Lord equipping His people to be a witness for Him. You will read different accounts of the Exodus and facing the Red Sea. It's very fascinating how that in Hebrews 11 we are told that they proceeded by faith. But we will also read in other portions how there was the weakness of unbelief. And these things are always mixed together in the visible church of Christ. Even though in the Old Testament visible church there were believers and there were unbelievers, there was a mixed multitude. Well, the whole gathering was indeed a public witness for the Lord and for His glory. And the same truth applies for us all today, and it will do until the Lord returns. When the true church of Christ, made up of all His invisible body of Christ, we will all come that day in the glory and in the power of our Savior. And so as Christ appeared unto Moses in the burning bush, declaring unto him that he would be a witness for God, and as Moses would show to Pharaoh that the God of heaven and earth is the only living and true God, so we are called in our day, in our time, in our Christian lives, that we must proclaim the wonder and the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we as a body of God's people are going to go forward communicating of Christ, where will our information come from? Well, we know the answer to that. It is going to come from God's own inspired and holy Word. The sole authority of the Bible in all matters of our faith and our practice, it was the key teaching that came and was renewed from the Reformation time. And we are building on that today, witnessing for Christ. And it's not to be based upon our emotion. It's not to be based on positive thinking or of psychological wandering or of pragmatism. Where we go to find the authority and the warrant of our presenting of the centrality of Christ is going to be from His holy Word. We cannot go forward in our testimony for the Lord unless we submit ourselves to both the pattern and the content of His holy Word. But what really does this mean? What does that look like? The Lord said in Psalm 40, "In the volume of the book, it is written of me." And our Savior opened the eyes of the two that were on the road to Emmaus, and He showed them from the law and the prophets and the Psalms all things concerning Himself. And therefore, our forward witness for Christ, it is going to communicate all that the Bible has to say about the person and the work of our Lord Jesus. This is the whole compendium of our testimony. It is all that we draw from for our witness. What Christ has done for us, what He means to us, and how we are going to communicate that from how the Spirit has opened and impressed His Word upon our hearts from the day of our salvation, and as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Believer, we cannot go forward in our witness of the Savior, unless we are basing all of our teaching and our testimony and our witnessing on God's holy truth. When the Apostle Paul was in Thessalonica, in the synagogue, we are told that he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. He made no bones about it. The Messiah that was prophesied of all the Old Testament Scriptures, he was opening and alleging and proving that the Christ that I now worship, he indeed is your Messiah. He is your Lord. He is the only Savior of men. And so the substance of Paul's witness, it was the preaching of Christ and him crucified. And that is what it looks like for us today to witness of the Son of God in all his fullness. Let us be on our guard that we do not depend on other resources. We do not depend upon other things to speak of Christ. Let's be careful that we don't go down the road of downloaded sermons to the degree that we are listening to the rock star preachers of the day. Let's be careful that we are staying very close to God's holy word, because there is in the infallible, inerrant, and inspired word all that we need to communicate our Lord. Now, sometimes when we are witnessing and we want to communicate what the Lord has done for us, of course, that's our testimony. We will share that. But if you get into some sort of debate or argument with someone, they may be sharper intellectually than you are. They may have all the reasonings and rationale, and it will put us on our heels. But let us come back to remember that by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, and as we have hidden God's truth in our hearts, we will be able to go forward in our witness for Christ based firmly upon His own precious word. It must be based upon His truth. But also, for the sole praise of our Lord and for the extension of His kingdom, that is at the heart of our witness and going forward to speak of Christ, for the sole praise of our Lord. This deals with our motivation in witnessing. What is our purpose? What is the goal that we are aiming at? Is the goal to grow our churches? Is the goal in some way to make a name for ourselves? Certainly, it wouldn't be to clock up hours of so-called points, which is very much what the cults do. They will engage in that type of practice, keeping record of how many hours they're on the door. And of course, they do that because that's based upon their own salvation of works, and they itemize that, and they look at that in their own minds. But it's good for us to examine what motivates us as far as our service of Christ. If there is any other reason but for the honor and the glory of King Jesus and the building of His kingdom, then we need to look closer in our own hearts. We need to reevaluate, because we don't want to have any mixed communication or mixed message. But of course, let that not lead us to any kind of inactivity. We want to go forward, and go forward with the biblical zeal that the Lord has shown us in His own word. And in this, let our witness be genuine. Let it be from the heart. Let it not be something that is plastic or synthetic or put on. Friend, the best way that we are going to go forward in our witness, speaking of our Lord, if we don't have the theology, if we don't have the vocabulary, is simply to communicate what Christ has done for us. Open our hearts and speak that word. Let us do that. We are not salesmen when it comes to the gospel. We're not trading some commodity. We're not bartering of some merchandise. We are called to speak of the unsearchable riches of our Lord Jesus. And we want to tell people, what about the wonderful change that has taken place in our hearts? And as we communicate that, most definitely, the Lord will come to help. And as we share with people, my Lord Jesus loved me with an everlasting love. And I communicate that truth to you. And I want to present him in all of his beauty and all of his glory. Well, let's move on. And a second thought tonight is this, that our witness, it must be Spirit-directed and empowered. If we're going forward, the Lord is the central part of our truth and communication. We have to have the Spirit's power in order to do this. In Mark 16, verse 20, the final statement that is given to the disciples, it says this, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." It was the Holy Spirit, of course, who was promised to go before them, promised to be with the disciples. The necessity of his power and the direction that they needed from him in order to fulfill all that they were commanded and commissioned to do. Then there was the waiting and the praying at Pentecost until the Spirit's power was poured out upon them. And when that occurred, there was a new era of global evangelism that began. And that is continuing unto this day. And it will continue until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. But when we think about what that means to have the Spirit's power and to be directed by the Holy Ghost, is it not a consecrated life? This world, not by human power, will be won. It's not by the arm of our flesh. It's not by our own intellectual ability. How many gospel attempts have failed because the hand of man touched the ark and all came swiftly to a conclusion? Trying to steady, trying to promote, trying to organize, trying to have program after program. And my dear brothers and sisters, we know, operating in God's work, that there must be things done decently and in order. There has to be a level of program. There has to be order and structure. We know that. But we also have to remember that those structures and programs are not the answer. But along with them, we must know the power of a consecrated life unto God. When William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, told two of his soldiers to, quote, try tears, they had come to the end of their evangelistic efforts. Nothing was working. And Booth communicated to them this truth, that it's not all your efforts that are going to win the day. You must get on your knees and your face before God. We must have God's power in order to accomplish His work. And we are called to surrender ourselves, surrender and consecrate our lives unto Him. It's the reason why we were saved. It's the reason why God's Spirit opened our understanding and we were brought to lay hold upon the Savior. It's because the Lord wants to use us as His witnesses. And we are to communicate by the Spirit's power. Does this mean that all will be smooth and easy? We know enough by experience that that's not the case. And it's not going to be that way in God's work. In fact, the more that we are engaged, the more we are involved in the work of the Lord, the longer we have served, perhaps you will prove the very opposite. Because if you're engaged in God's work, Satan is not happy about it. And he will be putting obstacle in front of you. Friends, let's not be discouraged about that, but let us renew and redouble our efforts that as God has called us, each one to be His witness, that we will not succumb, but realize we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Ernest Shackleton, the Arctic explorer that endured much hardship and unspeakable challenges in his frigid explorations, he said this. He said, difficulties are things to be overcome. Now, looking at it from a secular point of view, in all that he tried to accomplish, he saw many difficulties, and he viewed them as simply things that had to be overcome. Now, you and I, as God's people, we have the Spirit's power in us. We have the Holy Ghost promised to us. And we know that we will face difficulties in presenting our Lord. We know the devil hates what we're about. But let us therefore embrace those challenges, embrace those difficulties, and realize that our God is able for each one of them. And to know this, that the sovereign hand of God allows us to go through and to face those challenges. He's working out His perfect will in us. And we will certainly be able to say, as the apostle did, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is by the Spirit's power that operates within us. There must be a consecrated life. But we also come and must address the fact that our witnessing and our serving of the Lord is not for the praise of men. It's good to receive appreciation for ministry and service for the Lord. As a pastor, it's a very encouraging thing when you stand at the door after a service and the people come by and they shake your hand and they might say, thank you for the word, appreciate the message today, so on and so forth. Of course, Dr. Cook, as he was lecturing us in the theological hall in homiletics, he would say, when the dear old ladies go out of the church Sunday morning, they say, oh, pastor, what a lovely message that was. He said, don't believe it. That's what he told us. Don't believe it. Don't believe a word of it. And no offense, by the way, if you say that to your pastor, don't stop saying it. It's always a good thing to do. But we have to realize that we are not in the ministry to receive the acclaim of men, but we enjoy to receive encouragement. Reminds me of another little story. A visiting minister came to the church, finished the message, out to the door, shaking hands with all the people. Everybody said, what a lovely sermon. Thank you. That was a great word. And then this one guy came by and he said, that was the worst sermon I've ever heard in my life. And then he went out the door and went back in and got in the lineup again, came back out. That was the worst sermon I've ever heard in my life. And this happened about three or four times. And so the minister went to the elder and said, what is going on here? What's this? And then the elder said, don't pay any attention to that guy. He's not quite right. He only repeats everything he hears. So sometimes that can be the case too, and we have to be careful about that. At any rate, we must realize that pride is something that everyone deals with at some level. and some of us more than others, maybe. And so the Lord will and has his own way of taking us all down the notches that have to be taken down. And we want to guard against that. We don't do what we do for the praise of men. We want to do what we can do, not because you receive a slap on the back or kind of moving up the ecclesiastical ladder, but it's for the honor of the Savior alone. And believer, the only way we can come to grips with that is really to pray, Lord, work in my life. Guard me against my flesh. Guard me against the self-centeredness that is so much an issue that we all must deal with. Well, it's also not for the building of a denomination or a church. Of course, we all want to see the work of God growing. It's nothing more encouraging than to see a whole congregation here, a church filled with people. We want to see God's work flourish. We want to see it go on, grow. We want advancement. We want growth. Smallness in the Lord's work is not a badge of faithfulness. We want to see development in the Lord's work. But neither should we be analyzing the statistics in order to determine the blessing of God upon a work. Beware of numbering Israel. Beware of checking sermon download numbers. Beware of all those things, because if we use them to evaluate success or faithfulness, we're falling into the trap. Because our witness for our Lord is not to build a denomination or a church as the end goal. Our purpose of serving the Lord and witnessing for Him is for the glory and honor of King Jesus alone. And of course, the outcome of that will be growth and blessing. Is not our greatest need in our Christian life, as we witness or preach the gospel, is it not our greatest need that we will know the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Believer, are you asking the Lord for that? Are you praying that He will meet with you, that He will empower you to speak for Him and to go forward in your witness? It must be Christ-centered. We must have the Holy Spirit's power. The third place is our forward witness. It is a mercy and a privilege given to us by the Lord. We are laborers together with God. Every time I face this verse and think about it, it overwhelms me. The wonder of God's sovereign grace that He would take and use a broken and a tarnished life as mine to do anything at all for Him. We have been redeemed and transformed, no doubt about that. But we are given the privilege of witnessing for our Lord, of telling others about so great salvation. And the Lord humbles Himself to make use of vessels as we are. But do we see our witness as a service for God? Or is it a sacrifice that we will make? It's a good question. When Israel went forward at the command of God and they stepped between the walls of water of the Red Sea, they were bearing witness for Him. They were bearing witness of their faith in God and of their trust in God. They were privileged to be a light, and a light even though surrounded by ominous obstacles and perhaps great fear. I don't doubt that at all. And even though their witness would be one to another, encouraging each other, Their witness also was to the ungodly, those who were following them into the Red Sea. They were engaging in something for the Lord. But was it service or was it a sacrifice for them? Please listen carefully to this statement made by the missionary David Livingston. He said, "For my part, I have never ceased to rejoice that God has appointed me to such an office. People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Is that a sacrifice which brings its own blessed reward in healthy activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with the word sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with a foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of life, it may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And he closes with this: "I never made a sacrifice." Now, if you know anything of the life of David Livingston and what he did, the context of that will be quite eye-opening. The devil wants us to think, "Oh, look what you are suffering. Oh, look what you have to give up for serving God." But the right perspective, the gospel perspective, is, "I have given up nothing for my Lord. He has given up everything for me." We are privileged to be used of God. And when we get to glory, there will be great joy to know this simple truth, that the Lord has used us in some small way in His great kingdom. That will be enough. I close with this thought here. Our faithful witness of going forward, it has the promise of an eternal reward. In a very real sense, when Israel crossed the Red Sea, they were entering a new chapter of their redeemed lives. There was no going back. It was forward to the promised land. And even though there would be compromise, some setbacks, and the removal of the mixed multitude that had come out of Egypt, false professors, there were the people who were God's people, and they walked by faith, and they would be heading for their eternal reward. Our Savior told us that we are to lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. And our witnessing of so great salvation in our lives, we are investing in glory. Investments on earth are good and they have their place. But let's all realize that those investments will be left behind, left to other people. Are we investing and going forward in our witness for our Lord Jesus? Are we doing the Master's business? Are we working for His eternal glory? Are we pressing forward for Christ's crown and His ultimate glory? Again, David Livingston said this. He said, I am prepared to go anywhere, provided it is forward. And let us take the same heart, the same zeal. We sang already, then forward still 'tis Jehovah's will, though the billows dash and spray, with a conquering tread we will push ahead, for he'll roll the sea away. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we pray tonight that we would know in a real sense the power of the Spirit of God in our lives every day. Dear Lord, we are thankful for the great gift that has been promised to every single believer. No one is left out. I pray that as we endeavor to serve in our generation, Father, as we have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, things are hard, Lord, and they are going to get harder. But I pray that we will be resolute, that we will be firmly convinced of what we believe, and that we will share the love of Christ with all the empathy and sympathy and purpose that we can. Now, Lord, hear our prayers tonight. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 419. I don't know if you are as familiar with this hymn, but we will sing it with all our heart. You hear the tune, May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. Please stand as we sing. The words for a moment of this last verse. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. Is that not the heart of what we are asking the Lord to do? We often say, when the preacher is preaching, let him be hidden behind the cross. Let none be seen save Jesus only. And that's what we desire in our life and witness. And you know, the more we understand that it's not about us, it's not about me, it's not about whether I feel nervous or not nervous, it's about the Lord speaking and working through us. And that's our heart, and that's our prayer. Let's sing this final verse.
May His beauty
Lord, separate us now, we pray, with your rich and glorious, mighty blessing. Write your truth, Lord, upon every single heart. Make us, we pray, soul winners for the Savior. Lord, may there be expansion in all of our works, and we pray that the outcome of this will be only for the glory of our Redeemer. So, Lord, hear our prayers. Give thanks for the time we've had here tonight. And, Lord, we pray that you will take everyone home safely and make a blessing in every single home. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.